Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
No, you're right. Drew, you're right. It's been a heck of a year for me in terms of Hollywood interviews. Whoa, my camera's like, where am I? What the heck? There we are for our viewers on YouTube and Facebook. And I don't know, man. This camera is off, buddy. Oh, there it is. There it is. As you can see, I'm not. We're talking about a low budget Hollywood production here. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, the actors, pretty good run there. I got to meet Bill Murray. Didn't interview him, but that was pretty neat a few weeks ago at the NASCAR race. And then at the Music Awards last year, yeah. Billy Crystal on Sports on a Sunday Morning. You're right, Drew. I remember turning to my daughter, Audrey, and saying, I think that's the biggest celebrity I've ever interviewed when we got on the elevator. She's like, really? I said, yeah, let's go look back at some of his movies. And then I interviewed at Powell Hall at the red carpet world premiere of Soul on Fire. Really nice job by John O'Leary and everybody to contribute and actually turn that amazing story and then book into a movie. William H. Macy. Yeah, that's a pretty big one right there. John Corbett. It was Joel Courtney, the young actor who plays John O'Leary, that my daughter called me and she goes, Dad, did you do the red carpet world premiere of Soul on Fire? She's in college at Miami of Ohio. And I said, yeah. And she goes, did you interview Joel Courtney? I said, I sure did. She goes, oh, my gosh. And you could hear all the girls in the background giggling. They all like Joel, okay, 29-year-old actor. They love John Corbett. He plays the dad in a lot of the movies that they saw. So that was neat. It was a nice experience. We'll hear William H. Macy and John O'Leary coming up next hour. Cardinal baseball, I want to get into that first and something that I wanted to say about the Cardinals and also MLB postseason as it relates to, obviously, what the Cardinals want to do and where they want to go. We'll get into some college football coming up here in just a moment. Hockey as well. Congrats to City on picking up a win. I know that City is out of it, but they look better. They won on the road against Austin 3-1. I want to make sure I mention that so the soccer fans don't get upset with me. I know I don't have Lutz on anymore. We're going to replace. They don't have a replacement right now. There is no sporting director. You know, you've got John Hackworth and Diego Giuliani and others are sharing those duties. So just patience there. I would say that Lutz was very, very dedicated to the show. I mean, Lutz really liked being on the show. He liked sharing with us. He liked this being the platform where he could give information to the fans. And he made that pretty much exclusive to us. So we appreciate that. And by the way, so did John Mozeliak, who did not get a lot of credit for that. But Mozeliak did that as well. He never got compensated for being on the show. You know, he just did it because he felt like it was the right thing to do. It was the broadcast partnership with us and thought that this is part of his duty was to come on Sundays and be with us. And yes, Chaim Bloom is going to do the same thing. Chaim is with family this weekend after a big, big week. And we're going to have him on this Sunday show for the foreseeable future, I would imagine. I think the Gashouse gang could be in play for him. But we will hear a really good interview that John Rooney did with Chaim Bloom coming up on KMOX. And that'll be in that normal slot. We're going to keep it at 11:30. 26-minute interview, so we won't play the whole thing. We'll pick, Drew and I will pick a portion of that to play. I kind of feel like people want to hear what he had to say about Ollie. That seems to be the hot button issue that came out of that. You know, and I was a little surprised at the reaction that came out of that, that when he officially said that Ollie is coming back, that there was a lot of pushback from Cardinals fans. But I understand, because I talk to Cardinals fans about it quite often as to why they want that change. And I don't know that it's all personal against Ollie. I think that people, and Cardinals fans, go ahead and comment on here if you want. You can call in if you want. Drew, open up the phone lines if you want, if that's all right. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. The Odyssey app is alive and well around the country, and I know that people are watching. But what I gather here is that people just want some sort of signal that there's going to be a change. That's what they wanted. And so Ollie was going to have to be that guy for a lot of people. That it wasn't necessarily that they didn't like Ollie, but they didn't love the manager. And so they thought that that should be what Bloom should step up there and say. What you were missing there, for those of you who have been listening to KMOX and certainly who have been following along on the Gashouse gang, is that Ollie wasn't going anywhere. I mean, you could just hear the relationship that he's had with Chaim. He talked about him all the time. And Bloom could have fired him if he wanted to. He could have done it. But if Chaim thinks that he's the right fit, and this is a clear change from Mozeliak, John Mozeliak has absolutely nothing to do with this. And don't you think that Bill DeWitt and ownership would say, okay, if Chaim said, I think we need to go in a different direction. I've been watching this. I'm the outsider that you brought in to audit this. I've been watching this whole thing. I think your best move is to change managers. Don't you think they would say, okay? What? How much money would they be out? I mean, it's 1 year left on his contract. No, actually, the opposite happened. They really felt like Ollie Marmol, according to Bloom, was the right fit moving forward. So I was a little surprised by the amount of people that protested that. I'm not sure what you expected to happen. Did you think that they were going to hire Yachty or Albert or something or Joe Madden? I'm not really sure, but I'm just telling you, I think that's what happened, is that fans are waiting for this cutoff of the previous regime and a fresh start. That's what they wanted. Let's go to Paul and get his thoughts. And then I've got another Cardinals thought I want to throw out there, something that happened on social media that started out very tame and kind of went nuts. But that tends to happen with this awesome, passionate fan base. Let's go to Paul. Paul, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Great show this morning. Thanks, man. I'm a huge Ollie fan. Heard him speak at Fellowship of Christian Athletes quarterly breakfast. But he is such a great communicator. He's in the corner of his players, and he is the youngest manager in baseball, so he's a work in process, of course. I completely agree with Bernie with regard to how can you say that he's the problem because he's had a roster that's deficient. You know, no offense to the Cardinal roster, but we've got work to do there, and let's judge him based upon what he does when he has the horses. So I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Yeah, Paul, I agree with that. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything that Ollie does, but I think he's a very smart baseball man. I think he's a passionate Cardinals man. He's been in the organization for a long time. He knows the game. obviously he's willing to work with Haim on a number of different levels. You can just hear it. He's excited. He seems energized by the change, and he's ready to go. I think this is going to be interesting to watch. And he did not have a good team this year. I'm sorry. Like, what are you supposed to do with this rotation? What are you supposed to do? The last time he had a good team, he won the division. Guys, you have to have players. You have to have players to win. I mean, he's not taking the at-bats. Goldschmidt and Arenado slipped at the same time. You know, I'm not absolving him. I'm just saying, like, just be, if you're being realistic about it. Jack, go ahead. You're on KMOX.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to say I've been a lifelong Cardinal fan and followed him very closely in the 50s. And I'll make the comment that I was probably the biggest Cardinal fan that I know outside of Marty Hendon. But
oh, what a great name to bring up. That's awesome.
Yeah, I go back to that time, and the Cardinals were a second division club for most of the 1950s, living on the past of the 1940s. And in reality, they didn't start to turn things around until they got rid of Stan Musial and Red Schoeneist. And, of course, in 64, brought in Lou Brock. And the whole big thing changed. I'm curious about one of the comments that John Mozeliak made, and that is the Cardinals never had an elite player recently. And you look through the Cardinal history, you go back to the 60s, you can think of Brock and Gibson, and think of the 80s of Ozzie Smith, and, of course, the recent time of both Yachty and Albert. And I'm just wondering if that's what Mozeliak felt was really missing to make this Cardinal team that we're so used to rooting for. And like I said, we go back to the 1950s. Gussie Bush bought the Cardinals in 1963. He had a winning season in, I think, 1957 and 1960. But it wasn't until they cleared house and brought in the new faces of the club that things turned around. And you listen to Gussie in 1964, the excitement he had when the Cardinals won the pennant. So Cardinals fans need to be patient. We've been through this before, those of us who are older. And I'll quit right there. Thank you.
All right, thanks. There isn't a lot of patience among Cardinals fans because they're used to winning. I did post on Thursday. I was in on Mark Cox's show. I don't know if you guys know this, but on 97.1, I pop in on Monday and Thursday, and I do about 10 minutes with Mark Cox and Dan Buck. And I said, wow, how about that? The Reds, you know, thanks for playing. I mean, they were out very quickly in the postseason. And I said, did you know that, and I had forgotten about this, the Reds have not won a postseason series since 1995. And I said aloud, I wonder how many of the Cardinals have won since then. You know, a lot, right? I said, I'm going to go look it up. So I went, I looked it up. I was actually very surprised. 18 postseason series wins, not wins, series wins for the Cardinals since 19-5, 18-0. So I put that out there on Twitter, and the responses were wild. You know, I think some people got it, said, yeah, I guess, you know, when you think you don't have it, when you think you have it bad, look at what the Reds fans deal with. Then I had some people that asked me if Bill DeWitt paid me to say that. Bill DeWitt has bigger fish to fry. He has bigger problems than that. He needs to put people in the seats. And then I had people that wondered why I was comparing the Cardinals to the Reds, which, of course, I'm not. My point is that sometimes we forget what a run the Cardinals had, but it also goes to show that that's why people are angry. They're used to winning. It's been a while. It's been a decade since the Cardinals were in the NLCS. Well, they were in the NLCS in 19, but since they had success, like a real World Series contender, it's been a decade, and people were upset about that. Now, they're just, they just don't like it. And there are some people that are patient, Jack, and there are some people that are not. They want it now, and they're tired of it. And I embrace all of it because I want Cardinals fans to tell me. I want them to be engaged. I want to know. I grew up one. I grew up a Cardinals fan. I grew up with knowing that I was going to go see a winner. And then I went through the 90s, a downtime, and then back in 2000, really, 96, they made it to the playoffs. The McGuire home run race was fun, but 2000, that was when it really took off, and we've had a lot of winning since then, but it has taken a slide back. And so Cardinals fans are saying we are and should be an elite National League team. We're National League royalty. Tired of being in the middle. And that was the reaction out of that. They want things to happen. Let's go to Tony on KMOX. Hi, Tony.
Good morning. I'm in my mid-60s. I've been a Cardinal fan all my life, as far back as I can remember. My grandfather played for the Cardinals in the 20s. Wow. I think my problem with Ollie, and I think he's a fine person, and I'm glad he's a Christian and all that, but the whole thing goes back to Mike Schilts, or I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I feel like he was kind of dirtied on and kind of ran out the door, and then they brought Mo in, and I don't blame him for taking the job, but he seems like he was Mo's yes man or something, rightly or wrongly, and I don't like how – I don't think he's publicly ever stood up like I think Whitey Herzog would have, and not many people are Whitey Herzog. I think they run the same players out thinking, well, they're going to do better, and they don't. I think Ollie will make a fantastic manager, but I think he needs to be somewhere else. And as far as the DeWitts and me, to me, they're the same as the Bidwell brothers. They ruined the football Cardinals. And I'm sorry, everybody loves the DeWitts, but I think they should go too. So that's just my personal opinion.
All right. Well, there you go. Tony's laying it down. I think that is a common thing where people did not like the Schilt firing, didn't like the way it was handled. And so Ollie, unfortunately, gets painted as some bad guy who just stepped in and nodded and took the job when it's completely different than that. But it's their job to send out the communication better. And of course, winning solves everything. But that's one of the many things that he said there. One of the big things that jumps out to me is that people didn't like Schilt getting fired and how it happened and how it was never fully explained. And then suddenly Ollie Marmol's the manager. It did him no favors, even though he won the division the next year. Kevin, you're on KMOX. Great to be with you.
Be with you, Tom. I've always enjoyed your shows.
Thanks.
If people are expecting Chaim Bloom to become the second coming, to be the second coming of Branch Rickey, they can forget it, because it all comes down to how much money the DeWitts want to spend. If the DeWitts don't want to loosen the purse strings, the Cardinals aren't going to have a competitive team. And that's all it comes down to. I like Ollie, and I'm glad they're bringing him back. It's not his fault they're losing. It's the ownership. And that's my comment.
It always starts at the top. Bill DeWitt Jr. and his son Bill DeWitt III are the two faces out in front of the ownership group, but it's certainly Bill DeWitt Jr. who calls the shots. He could say no to anything he wants, and John Mozeliak basically suggested things, but he was working for Bill, and now Chaim will work for Bill, so you are correct there. But I do believe that they did exactly what you all wanted them to do, which was to break away from this is how we do it, we're going to keep promoting from within. They went out and they got the outside set of eyes, okay? Bill DeWitt Jr. is the furthest thing from a villain. Let me say that again. Bill DeWitt Jr. is a good man. He is a baseball man. He comes from a baseball family, a St. Louis baseball family, mind you. And for a long time, won a lot of games here. But like any franchise, things run their course and you have to change. He made the hard decision of firing Walt Jocketty in 2007. He favored Jeff Luhnow and what he was doing, and he hired John Mozeliak to take over, to oversee those two factions that were the old school and new school that were differing. And a lot of success came out of that, you have to admit. They did very well for a long time. And then, guess what happened? They thought that the way they were doing it was going to be fine all the way, and they end up getting passed by other teams. Because what Chaim Bloom said, I want you to listen to this clearly, okay? Some people have missed what Bloom said in his own press conference right away. He said that every single day, 29 teams, 29 people in your position are trying to beat you. No matter what you do in this organization, 29 other people in your position are trying to beat you. So you need to win the 1 to 6 p.m. You need to win the games, yes. But other teams are trying to beat you. This is exactly what Cardinals fans should want to hear. The Cardinals, for years, have been in this tunnel where they said, yeah, I know, I got it, like other teams are doing. This is how we do it. We're the Cardinals, the Cardinal way. This is how we do it. We're going to do it a certain way, and I don't care what everybody else says. We do things a certain way around here, and we win. Our track record says so. Heim is saying the opposite. He's saying, you got to take a look at these other teams. You better be competitive with these other 29. And I'm telling you right now, you've got to go get the Heim Blooms. You got to go steal from other. They didn't steal him. He got fired. You got to go get the Rob Serfolios and Larry Days. You have to steal the performance guys and the strength guys and the ideas on how to improve your team mentally. You have to go get other people's people, other people's ideas, and do it better. Because guess what? That's what everybody did to the Cardinals. They all did it. They went and they stole the Cardinals' ideas and replicated it, and they were successful. Bingo. And the Cardinals didn't keep pace with it. And that's why they got passed. And it's forward thinking. And now you have the guy who wants to do that. And that's the message that should be out there right now. And it is not going to be overnight. I mean, it's going to take a while. But they put themselves in this hole. But now they have, I think, the guy who's going to get that done. And time will tell if that's the case. But I'm telling you that however you feel, I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. You've been a fan of this team for a long time. And believe me, I've gone through all the emotions. I've been angry. I've been patient. I've been impatient. I've gone through it all, too. But I, watching this thing and listening to it and following it every single day, I can see the path that they're on by bringing in Heim. But, he's not going to hit all the right notes in the first day. He's not going to tell you everything he's going to do. But if you read, I wish he would have said rebuild, but that's okay. If you read between the lines, which you often have to do in this business, it's going to be a process to get this thing back. There is no more patchwork to get this thing back to where it used to be and should be, where the Cardinals were the envy of the National League and quite honestly, baseball, where they had the organization that everybody wanted to be. That's where you have to get back to do it. And yes, ownership will have to give him the resources that he needs to do that. First task, allocate all the money he needs to fix this minor league system. That process is already underway. Then, if the right player comes along, yeah, you go get him. And the roster is going to be a lot different. Changes are going to be made. But yes, ultimately, money does talk. You don't need to spend $300 or $400 million on payroll. The Brewers have just shown you that. And they might well win the World Series with a lower payroll. That's the model that you have to follow. You need to be a machine. Players need to come up here and not learn how to hit and not learn how to field. Players need to come up here and win damn games for this team. This is not a farm club. This is the big leagues. And that's where they got backwards. They got to a point where they're calling players up and putting them in the starting lineup and having to teach them how to play big league baseball. That shouldn't be happening. That should be happening in the minor leagues. Then they come up and they get the job done. So we blew past talking about MLB postseason. We blew past talking about college football and doing a scoreboard and doing headlines and doing news. And I don't care because I think this was important to be able to talk about all this. And we will be right back with much more. It is Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. Well, let me set this up for you. So for those who aren't aware, there is a story that started here in St. Louis. John O'Leary, who, when he was 9 years old, was burned badly near death after an explosion in his garage at his home in St. Louis, in Town and Country. Hospitalized, he was visited by Jack Buck, and his family, his faith, his hospital staff, Mr. Buck, all willed him, and John did himself, back to what was expected to be a tragic passing. He turned himself around, ended up not only leaving the hospital, but walking again, getting married, having kids, having a successful life. It's a tremendous comeback, turnaround, miracle of a story. They had a book on fire that turned into a movie, thanks to Terry Schnook, local producer, and many others who backed this with the funds that are necessary to create a movie. Made the movie. It's a feel-good movie I think you'll enjoy. They had a world premiere at Powell Symphony Hall, and I had a chance to visit with one of the lead actors who played Mr. Buck, William H. Macy.
It's amazing. It really is. We are joined by William H. Macy. I'm gonna show you this camera right here. The big one. This is going on live right now inside Powell Hall. Those folks who are waiting in the seats, waiting to see this movie, are watching us. What can you say to them about tonight, what it means to you? What are these nights like for you?
First of all, thank you for being there and supporting the movie. I hope you have a good time. That's why we did it, so that you're entertained. Hopefully people are moved and have a good cry and a good laugh and maybe love our fellow man a little bit more. Sometimes you need a film like this for that. What do these things mean to me, the openings? I'm really proud to be an actor. And every time I see people turn out like this, it's a fabulous job. It's 100 disparate people all pulling in the same direction to make a piece of art. And I'm proud as punch to do this for a living.
I worked with Jack Buck for 4 years. He was my mentor, one of many, but somebody who inspired me. Tell me about Jack Buck from your perspective. What did you learn about him?
We talk about heroes a lot. I never got to meet him. I find him endlessly fascinating, that he did all these lovely altruistic things quietly, silently. Nobody knew about them. Since this film started shooting, people are coming forward all the time telling more and more stories about Jack Buck and how he helped, how he showed up. And in this script, he heard about this kid who got burned at a dinner party, and in his tuxedo he went that night and sat by the bed. The kid was in a coma, and he whispered in his ear, "You're going to survive." He gave him faith.
Thank you so much for this, for being here. We can't wait to see it. Appreciate you very much.
Goodbye.
I had a lot of fun with him and with John Corbett, who was also there, actor from My Big Fat Greek Wedding and others. As I mentioned at the start of the show, my girls thought it was great that one of their favorite movie dads was visiting with their dad. He was really good. He said some things. If you want to go, it's on YouTube. If you want to see the whole red carpet, it's like 2 hours. It was chaotic. I guess I could apply to Access Hollywood now. Never done anything like that, but it was really a lot of fun to do. But Corbett was very complimentary of St. Louis, but at the same time, he seemed saddened by how empty downtown was when he stayed down here and was rooting for it to come back. He said, "I'm from Wheeling, West Virginia. I understand sometimes where, you know, things aren't functioning at 100%, and something along those lines. And I want the city to do well." And I thought that it was really great. I thought it was a good step to have a Hollywood-like red carpet atmosphere in St. Louis. Nothing but good, positive vibes out of that. Good to visit with William H. Macy. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And when we do, we will shift our attention to hockey. The Blues won last night. Their opener is coming up on Thursday. We'll hear from Coach Jim Montgomery and players. And Keith Fisher, the hockey coach at Lindenwood University. Lots of hockey coming. Then We are going to shift to the NFL. NFL picks at 11:05, 11:15. We'll be visited by the president of McKelvey Homes, Jim Brennan, with a very special announcement, one of our great partners. At 11:30, it is the extended visit with Chaim Bloom, Cardinals president of baseball operations, and at 11:45, Bernie Miklas, who I've been texting with here for the last 10, 15 minutes. He just heard my entire opening monologue, and he has some thoughts. That's coming up next. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
A lot of great comments coming in. Appreciate you very much. Based on what I was saying earlier about the Cardinals, this is Bill. Said he bought 100 tickets in 21 and 22, some in 23, but haven't been back to the stadium since and was looking forward to going back in 26. But now we'll just watch games on TV until Ollie is gone. Wow. Well, that seems a little extreme, but do what you got to do. DLW says Ollie only had two reliable starting pitchers. Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, in the end, he only had one in Sonny Gray until they put Michael McGreevy in there. This is KT said, becoming the Cubs wait till next year crap. I don't know. The Cubs are pretty good. I think they look pretty good. They're better than the Cardinals are. I know what you mean, though, KT. I got you. This is another one. Team regressed as the year went on. Second worst in the NL. No change to coaches. Obviously, they're lacking. No development. Most fans want change, says Rob. Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm only posting some of these comments because I think it's important, again, to understand what fans, they don't speak for all fans, but what the fans who are upset about, the ones who are being negative about it, what they feel. And it's important whether they're basing it on fact or just they don't like him or whatever the case may be. I want to hear what people have to say. I got a private DM from someone who said that Ollie, the reason that people are upset with Ollie is he makes bad decisions based on spreadsheets, that he doesn't read the analytics right. And, you know, so again, they have new leadership right now with Chaim Bloom. I mean, things are going to change in a lot of different ways. Just be prepared for that. Let's shift our attention quickly to the Blues and Blues coach Jim Montgomery. After a 4-0 win over the Blackhawks last night, the Blues now have some decisions to make. They have a 23-man roster that they have to finalize. They did send five players to Springfield today, including a player who was really good in Otto Stenberg. I thought he was excellent for them. Dvorsky also among those going to Springfield. Let's hear from Montgomery after a 4-0 win over the Hawks.
Overall, I thought camp was a success, and the fact that we thought we worked really hard. We got a lot accomplished. We got all areas covered, 3-on-3, pulled goalie situation, both ways, for and against. And then how hard camp was. We thought we pushed them hard, and we thought in the last week we backed off to how long practices were, and we thought that would help us in the games, and it did.
Anything you saw today that says you're ready for the start of the season?
Just our team structure in the last two games. Tonight was our best structure. And last game was the best pace we played with.
A lot of talk going into camp about having you at the start of camp would be a benefit. What do you think was, in what ways was that the biggest benefit for you?
Well, the cohesion of the group, you know, like you could tell like right away in practice, we understand how we want to play, we understand our identity, and I think that helped us play and practice well.
One on Snuggerud. What do you thought about his passing and playmaking ability and how much of an overall threat he'll be because of that going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, we know that, you know, he sees the ice really well. He showed us that last year, and that's why, you know, a lot of guys like playing with him because when someone moves the puck really well, like him, like Kyrou, like Holloway, like Neighbors, like a lot of players we have, they like playing together, and that's what makes us so formidable is that we have a lot of weapons that can mix and match together.
Closing it up here, of the up-and-coming prospects coming, who's showing for you and look forward to keeping tabs on this season?
Well, you know, on the back end, Lindstein and Skinner would come to mind right away. And then I would say up front, Dvorsky, Kaskimaki, and Stenberg really come to mind.
On Kaskimaki, what stood out about his overall camp and how close he is to being an NHL player?
How smart he is, how reliable he is. He's trustworthy. He's on the right side of the puck. You know, you can see him being a bottom six forward and having success.
All good.
Thank you.
That's Coach Jim Montgomery after the Blues 4-0 win over the Blackhawks. Kaskimaki, Stenberg, some of the names that he mentioned there. Lindstein, they were assigned to Springfield, but they are going to keep a very close eye on those young players. The Blues have a very nice mix right now of veterans, young emerging players. That Dylan Holloway is something special. I mean, he is a tremendous talent. I look forward to it. It all comes down to goaltending to me. If Bennington and Hofer are as good as they need to be, the Blues will be right there. I think they've upgraded defensively. Can keep an eye on Logan Mailloux and see how good he can be as a younger Colton Parayko type. And, of course, it's all about up the middle as well, which they have upgraded. And I think that the Blues could be a contender. I think they are a contender for a shot at a playoff spot and maybe even a run at a Stanley Cup if they add at the deadline. Let's join a little college hockey discussion for the back half of our hockey segment. We're joined by the head coach at Lindenwood University. Keith Fisher is with us on KMOX. Coach, it's great to have you back on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
It's a pleasure. Well, you open up the season against Wisconsin. How about that to start the season? And last year, surprised Wisconsin, the Lions did. This time around, they came in and they were able to take care of business. 3-0 in the first game and 7-3 was the score last night. How would you assess those two games and what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, we're taking steps as a team. And just listening to that interview with Coach Montgomery there, he talked about having a team identity. And we're still getting our team identity. We have 16 new players on the roster, and so we're coming together as a team. But not the results we wanted this weekend, but I think we took good steps, and we did some good things. We just need to keep building on those things and be a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, it's a 1-0 game in that opener. I want to focus on that one, that Friday night game. It's a 1-0 game for a while, and then I believe this is right, that you went on the power play a couple of times but just weren't able to get anything through. I think you only got one shot on goal in those two. That is a huge key. If you go back to Montgomery, his successful teams were great on the power play. If you can get that power play clicking, I think you are on the road to success.
Yeah, I mean that helps. I thought we played a good game on Friday. We didn't give up a 5-on-5 goal. The goals we gave up were on the power play, 4-on-4, and then we gave up an empty netter. So I thought defensively we were really good. I thought in the neutral zone we did a lot of good things. And then we didn't have much of an identity offensively that we needed to work on. And then turn that over to last night. You know, we gave up 2 power play goals in the first period. So our PK needs to be, improve a little bit. But then we had some offensive identity in the second period and scored 2 goals. You outshot them 18-11 in the period. And unfortunately took some penalties, undisciplined penalties in the third period, and the game got away from us a little bit.
And then going back to Friday, you won that faceoff battle too. Did you win it Saturday? I didn't see the stats on that, but I know you did on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that's something really important. That's part of our objectives of a statistic that we want to win. I think it's really important to have all 5 guys on the ice ready for a face-off, and shows if you're ready to compete.
College hockey, man, love it. You've got Lake Superior State, 2 games coming up Friday and Saturday, and then back at it, Centene Community Ice Center. Look at this. The University of Denver comes rolling in Friday and Saturday, the 17th and 18th, not to mention my daughter's school. She's a freshman at Miami University in Ohio on the 24th and 25th. Some big games in October, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get easy for us, but that's a good thing. You know what? We want to play the top teams in college hockey, and we're doing that. And, you know, I think that's going to help prepare us for the season overall. You know, this weekend, Wisconsin is a top 20 team, and I thought both games were a high pace. So that's really going to prepare us for this weekend up in Lake State and then returning for Denver and Miami. But, this whole season, we just want to keep building and keep getting better for the end of the season tournament there that we're going to be hosting at Centene with all the independent schools. And, that's our goal, is to win that at the end of the year.
This is Keith Fisher, the head coach at Lindenwood University, the hockey coach who I recall our first conversation that you spent, as we talked about, that long run on the staff at Penn State. But you were a distant, not too far away, fan of the Blues growing up, weren't you? Specifically of Brett Hull. So you understood the community here very well.
Yeah, I mean, the Blues, I've always had respect for an organization. It goes back to my youth days growing up in northern Minnesota, and I actually watched Brett Hull play at Minnesota Duluth in college there, and just followed his pro career here at in St. Louis, and have always had affinity for the St. Louis area, and they do a tremendous job developing hockey players here. And you know, I've been coaching for almost 25 years now, and I've almost always had a player from St. Louis on my rosters at every spot I've been. So, and I know how passionate this fan base is about the Blues, and you know, hopefully Lindenwood here in the future. And but I think the potential is big for what we have going at in Lindenwood.
A lot of people talking about St. Louis as a hockey fan now. You didn't have that when I was growing up. I mean, it was hard to get any time on rinks. Now you got rinks popping up everywhere. And look at this, Maryville's getting big time. I mean, it's real, isn't it, Coach? I mean, St. Louis, there is a buzz right now about what's happening at the youth level.
I mean, it's awesome to hear, and just getting more immersed in the hockey community here. And kind of the saying is, if you build it, they'll come. And, you know, you could probably put up 8 to 10 more sheets of ice throughout the community and they'd all be full. So it's exciting, you know, not only with the youth boys from around the community, but also the youth girls is growing as well. So the more hockey fan, I mean, it's a tremendous sport, and the more kids playing, I think everybody's going to benefit from it.
If you go to Lindenwood University's site, it's very easy to get tickets. All you have to do is just go there, and you can get tickets to those Denver games coming up the following weekend. So this weekend, again, they're at Lake Superior State, and then they have the University of Denver Friday and Saturday. Just a final thing, your message to the fans, not only in St. Charles, your home area there for Lindenwood, but also around St. Louis, what can they expect and what would you like to see from them?
You know, I want to see them out at games. I think once they attend a game at Centene, they're going to want to come back. But we're going to have to work on the ice. Work extremely hard. They're going to go out and compete every night. And college hockey is an unbelievable product. And, you know, St. Louis did an unbelievable job of supporting the Frozen Four last year when it was here in town. And I think we can take some of that support and bring it over to Centene and support Lindenwood. And college hockey is so fast. And you're seeing a lot of the next step for a lot of these players is the NHL. You know, so we're kind of the minor leagues of hockey right now too. So you're going to see the stars of the NHL coming up and see a great fast paced action, both ends, hard hitting. It's just a fun time for the family to come out and watch some hockey.
The Lindenwood Lions and their hockey program is run by Keith Fisher, the head coach, joining us on KMOX. It's great to talk to you again. All the best this season. We'll stay in touch with you. We'll keep our eyes on what's going on there, not to mention the football program, which is coming off a great win against Tennessee Martin. Appreciate you, Coach. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to talk to you. My daughter went to Miami's home opener. She had a blast there in Oxford. College hockey's cool, man. You should go see it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, have our NFL picks. We have a lot of good stuff coming, including John Rooney's sit down with Chaim Bloom. Bernie Miklas, boy, he's ready to go already. We're going to try to get to him ASAP, probably in the 1140, 1145 range. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We will be right back.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
We'll talk some baseball with Bernie Miklas at 11:45. Before that, Chaim Bloom with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. Lots of baseball. Continuing on a topic that we started this show, we just went 25 minutes straight on taking calls from fans and really tapping into it. I just want to know what fans think. I love that. I've always done it. I mean, I take calls. I took calls. Look, I've heard it all. I took calls all night long after Cardinal losses, and all I would have to say is Tony La Russa, 314-436-7900, and people will go nuts. Tony La Russa is one of the best managers of all time. So, you know, I've heard it. I understand it. I grew up a fan of this team. I started at KMOX in 1997. Nothing you say is going to shock me or hurt me, okay? I backed you all, those of you who don't go to the games. And when Greg Amsinger or whoever the big anchors were who were like, I just think this fan base is spoiled. I can't believe they're not going to the games. I backed you. And I said, don't ever point a finger at the Cardinal fan base. They are the last people to blame for this. And by the way, I stand by that still. Okay? So I'm still in your corner. I'm just telling you that I'm going to be realistic about this whole thing and say it is not one person, it's not one thing, it is a collective. We thought that the way we were doing it was correct, and it's not anymore. And that's why they brought in an outside person who has been watching it for 2 years to audit this organization, and now he has taken over. He's been on the job for 5 days officially. So let's just all take a breath and watch this thing. If there is no change between now and the start of the season, then you can all come back and tell me that I'm wrong. Now, I didn't do any college football last hour, and I apologize for that, for college football fans that were waiting, I'm sure, for all those top 25 scores that you can get on your phone in like 2 seconds. But I will say brief comments about college football, which you know is a passion of mine. I love it so much. Penn State coach James Franklin can't win the big game, now can't win the small game. That's a real problem. Going back 5 years ago, this always stayed with me with Franklin. None of you will remember this, but I'm just going to remind you. Maybe you will. They were up 56-0 on Georgia State, 11 seconds to go. Georgia State takes the ball down the field. They have a 31-yard field goal to kick to make it 56-3. James Franklin, as the ball goes through the uprights, is granted a timeout. He called timeout. He iced the kicker. Now, he said, he went back and said, oh, we had the wrong unit on the field. We didn't have our field goal block unit on the field. And so I called timeout to get the alignment right, you know, so these guys learn. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? Why would you want to block the field goal at 56-0? I mean, just let the guy, who cares? Just say, I didn't mean to call a timeout. Let's just go home. 56. No, he wanted the shutout, and he never said it, and that bothered me. So I'm not, like, rooting against James Franklin. I'm just saying something wasn't all right there for me back then. Penn State losing to UCLA is inexcusable. UCLA 0-4. At the same time, happy for Jerry Neuheisel and all those people getting a chance to lead a big team like that. The other one that jumped out at me was Illinois. That was impressive. And I know that Purdue is not good, but what they did to Barry Odom and putting 27 points on him in the second quarter was impressive. That was a trap. You'd beat USC. You have Ohio State coming. That's one of those games that'll come back and bite you. Just ask anybody. Ask Penn State. Just happened. So they did. They took care of business. That was a good business trip for Illinois. They should be happy about that. Now this is going to be incredible to see Ohio State come in and see if they can give them a game. It's going to be awesome to see Alabama come into Mizzou and see if they can beat them, give them a game and beat them and try to be an SEC power. This is their chance to get out of the middle of the pack SEC conversation, beat Alabama, and be a real college football playoff contender. What fun we're going to have this coming Saturday. Love college football. That said, it is time. It is time for NFL picks.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
What happened? It just cut off out of nowhere. The great Tom Ackerman, former Saints and right there Titans offensive lineman. Now it's time for the picks. I've gone 500 this year, 50%. So you haven't lost anything, you haven't won anything if you followed all my picks. I'm ready to turn that around right here, right now. We have one game in progress. Cleveland leads Minnesota 17-14. That game is in London. The Browns and the Vikings going on right now. Here are your noon games today. Get ready. Get your fantasy team lineup set, by the way. Do it by 11:50. Don't wait till the last second. They might lock you out. Just a tip. Not that that's ever happened to me. Las Vegas at Indianapolis. It's a noon kickoff in Indy. This Colts team is good. Don't be fooled by the fact that they lost to the Rams last week. They are a very good football team. They are a 7-point favorite against the Raiders, and I like them to win this game by more than 7 today. I think the Colts are going to show up today and win this football game against Vegas. Indianapolis minus 7. Giants at New Orleans. Ooh, I ragged on the Giants last week. I was wrong about that. Jackson Dart, like him. That guy, now, the Saints are bad, granted, but he's going to run on this team today. I think he's going to, because he doesn't have Malik Nabers out for the year. That's a shame. That's a real shame. That kid's a player. But Jackson Dart, he can throw, he can run. I like the Giants plus 2. Give me Giants plus 2 at New Orleans today. Come on. Dallas at the Jets, ugly game, but I'm going to go Cowboys minus 1 on the road. Don't love the Cowboys for a lot of reasons, but I mean, the Jets are brutal. They're not going to win that. Denver at Philadelphia. The Eagles, Super Bowl champions. They're minus 4 at home against the Broncos. This Denver team's pretty decent, but the Eagles will run their way to a victory today. Give me Eagles minus 4. Miami at Carolina. Carolina is a confounding, strange team. They got drilled at New England last week, 42-13, a week after beating Atlanta 30-0. They are on a roller coaster type season. The Dolphins were impressive with their last win, but again, it was against the Jets, who are awful. And I'm going to take the Dolphins on the road, -1 at Carolina. The other noon game is Houston at Baltimore. Texans 2-point favorite on the road. How is that possible? Well, because Lamar Jackson isn't playing. Yep, Ravens are banged up. But that said, I have a feeling that they're going to figure it out today. There is no way they're going to go 1-4, right? I mean, they were one of the best teams in the league to start the year. I'm going to go Baltimore +2. I'm going to put a little faith in them. Tennessee at Arizona later today. Cardinals pretty good. 7-point spread I hate, though. I think this game might be a little closer. I'm going to go... Gosh, the Titans are bad. All right, I'll do it. Arizona -7. Tampa Bay at Seattle. Like both of these teams a lot. Two potential playoff teams going head-to-head. I'm going to take Seattle -4 at home. Betting a lot of favorites here, I feel like. Detroit at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 9.5-point dog at home. They are struggling without Joe Burrow. I think the Lions put it on them today and cover the 9.5. Washington at the Chargers. I'll take Chargers -2.5 at home. New England at Buffalo. 8 points. I'm going to go Patriots +8. You know, the Bills last week played a horrendous New Orleans team and only beat them by 12. Maybe they're not capable of killing teams, although they beat the Jets, the hapless Jets on the road. Yeah, they beat the Dolphins by 10 at home. They beat the Saints by 12 at home. I figure the same type of thing. The Patriots are a little better than that. So I'm going to go Patriots -8. Scott Jago's in the newsroom. Curious what his response to that is. Even though it's even a Sunday night game, I'm even going to do it there. And then Kansas City at Jacksonville. Give me Chiefs all day. Chiefs -3.5 at Jacksonville. That seems like a gimme to me, but... If Jacksonville rises up on Monday Night Football, good for them. I think the Chiefs are starting to turn it now. They'll turn it up, and they'll win this game by more than 3.5 on the road. That's your NFL picks. Use that as you will. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about some great things that are happening here in St. Louis. We are raising money left and right, and a record-breaking night at the Third Degree Glass Factory for the Dravet Syndrome Foundation. Don't forget, Chaim Bloom is coming up, as well as Bernie Miklas. Sports on a Sunday morning on Hold on one second. I just saw this. William Starnes commented, St. Louis promoting the NFL. Something wrong with you people. What in the world? What is with people today? William, my man. Come on, man. How long have you been listening to me? I mean, have I not scorched Stan Kroenke and his little weasel assistant, Kevin Demoff, for years? I'm giving NFL picks. It's the most popular sport in the country right now, and people like watching the league. I don't sit there and obsess over it. I have it on during the day. I mean, people like watching the league. We're not promoting anything. All right. Why am I so ornery today? We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. It's Sports on a Sunday Morning. Back in a moment. Chaim Bloom in the John Mozeliak spot at 11:30 and Bernie Miklas at 11:45. Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. It's 11:22 in the dulcet tones of Jim Brennan, the president of McKelvey Homes. You just heard that commercial. He is one of our great sponsors and partners here at KMOX, and now he is live in our studio. My great friend, Jim, how are you?
It is great to be live with Tom Ackerman.
Yeah.
And Tom, I want to tell you, despite all those calls you're getting or messages, we love you here. The Brennans love you.
I appreciate that very much. I think that they like me as well. I'm never really worried about that. I think what they don't like is the direction of the club, and so... That's what I've always understood. I'm just the listener. I like to let them vent and let them talk, and then we analyze it, and the Cardinals hear it, and they want to hear what the customer has to say. And that's how it should be. That's our role here.
Feedback is great.
The 50,000-watt blowtorch. How are you, man?
I'm great. We're still so excited and thankful, grateful for the wonderful results from our Dance for Gervais last Friday. I got to tell you, Tom, you crushed it. We had a record crowd with 500 people there. We raised over $900,000, and dollars are still coming in. I remember when my brother-in-law, Ted Odlog, set a goal 7 years ago to try to cumulatively raise $1 million. And thanks to you, your outstanding job as an MC, we raised almost $1 million just this year alone.
Well, I appreciate that. You did a great job of building it, and your audience was ready to go. I mean, they were ready to donate, and they did an incredible job. Gervais syndrome is a rare form of epilepsy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a rare form of epilepsy, and my sister Pat, my oldest sister, I've got five sisters, you know, and Patsy's the oldest. Her son Andrew and his wife Kim had Anna. In fact, last Sunday, a week ago, Anna celebrated her 8th birthday. Her favorite song is Happy Birthday, and they had a party at our home on Saturday. I think they sang it 4 times, and Anna is sweet as could be, the happiest girl, but she has real issues with these multiple seizures. It's a genetic disorder, and the Brennans, the Odlogs, are all working to try to find a cure, to raise funds, because you really need money to help do the research. And Tom, with you, I mean, you got so much money out of these people. I've never seen them so happy. You know, the Brennan family, the building industry, people like Joe Servan and Adam Hendricks at Chick Lumber, and our bankers, our friendly bankers. I mean, Jim Jones from Montgomery Bank, they've been there as our bar sponsor. Kevin Baker donating a trip to Muirfield. St. Louis Bank, Kevin King. I've borrowed a lot of money over the years, Tom, and I've paid it all back. Well, and these guys have really dug deep and helped support to come up with this record amount achieved just in 1 year alone.
And I want to pull March of Dimes into this a little bit, too, because the night before I did their event, and they raised $450,000, and their chairman of the event, Samantha Cook, of Brinkman Constructors, said to the crowd, you know, whatever you're thinking about giving, stretch it a little more. And I said, you know, I'm going to use that line tomorrow, because I do think that when things are going well, that it's okay to give a little bit more. And we're a very giving community. And so if it is within your means and you can, boy, there are some people that really need it. And within 2 days, I think we helped a lot of children. Well, you do so
much.
Area.
You do so much for the community. You are a real asset to St. Louis, and I mean, every night you're doing another one tonight for Ozzy. Right?
Ozzy, yeah, that's PGA Reach, Gateway PGA Reach Foundation,
and you help us sell homes. And what we're happy to do. Rose, my wife, who's sitting here without a microphone, I'm trying to get her on, but she says no one should be hungry.
She's
homeless.
On camera right now.
She is on camera. There she is. Doesn't she look great?
Yeah. Yep.
No one should be hungry, homeless, or without health care. And so in keeping with that, we're happy to announce for the fourth quarter, for every home we sell, and you help us sell a bunch of homes, Tom, we give $1,898 to a charity for every home we sell in the quarter. In the fourth quarter, we're going to do the ACA Affordable Housing Fund. It helps individuals and families to find a safe place to live and a future they can call their own, getting them hope, stability, and dignity. It started last year, and they've already awarded over $2 million in grants to Catholic housing agencies. Archbishop Rozanski wanted to be here today, but he's got Mass on a Sunday morning instead of sports on a Sunday morning. And what the Archdiocese has done to help people for decades is to help people in need. And so we're proud to be affiliated with them and give $1,898 for every home we sell to help housing, not just rental or rental assistance, but helping people get off the street into shelters, out of shelters into a house. And there's nothing like a home of your own. It's the American dream. And, you know, it provides stability to the family and stability to our whole community. So we are really looking forward to doing that. We're going to have to sell a lot of homes this quarter. And, you know, McKelvey Homes, we've got move-in ready homes. We've got over 30 of them. And we've got some really great deals with special financing. that we buy down that interest rate, even though the rates are affordable now, we can make them even better. Great savings in our Carpenters Union. We're all union carpenters. They're giving up to $10,000 for every McKelvey home that we sell to that customer to help them pay their closing costs or buy down their loan or whatever it may be. So it's a great time to buy a brand new home. And not only in our existing communities, but we got three new ones. Strawberry Farms, we just opened yesterday, selling from our Cottleville Trails in St. Charles. We've got the Reserve, where you just heard me a couple seconds earlier, out in Wildwood on 100 and 109, where our VIP list is forming now. And then we'll have the Estates at Post Farms in O'Fallon, also in St. Charles. So it's a great time to buy a brand new home. And when you buy a home from us, you know that you're going to be helping somebody else find a nice place to live through the Archdiocese of St. Louis.
St. Louis is a great place to live. And when I say St. Louis, I mean the entire region. So we're talking St. Louis County, St. Charles County, the surrounding counties, the Metro East. It's all right there. And for McKelvey Homes in St. Louis County, St. Charles County, McKelveyHomes.com. And remember, 1898, the year they were founded, every dollar of that $1,898 for every home sold will go to the ACA Affordable Housing Fund this quarter. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Tom, for all you do. You're the best.
No, you are.
Oh.
next time we talk, we're going to talk some Belle Reve. I see that BMW Championship shirt you have on. That's coming up 2026.
And I tell you, you got some really good prices for actually playing golf with me. Guys that don't have to pay to
play
with
me. Can you believe that? And then you gave away a second one?
We gave away three.
You did.
You just kept pointing at me. You know, he looks at me and I put up two, then I put up three. That plus Cravings dinners, you know, and the BMW next year. I mean, the members of Belle Reve have really supported this charity also. So we're honored to have, we're so blessed to have so many good.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Good. Generous friends Kevin and Keeley Travers, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, our fund in need that you did, Tom, that was a new record. We raised over $106,000.
Wow.
For people getting nothing but satisfaction of helping somebody in need.
Well, here's to a great quarter, and thanks for the time.
Thank you, Tom.
McKelvey Homes President Jim Brennan. When we come back, Heim Bloom, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Bernie Miklas to follow him, right here on KMOX.
On 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Heim Bloom introduced as the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, officially replacing John Mozeliak. And after his address with the media, he sat down for his first radio interview with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney.
I spoke with you about this time last year, and I was fascinated by your answer to this question. How important is winning at the minor league level, as you had a winner last year at Class A down at Palm Beach and a winner this year at Double A? And I'm told there are four or five really good major league prospects out of that Double A team. But how important is winning?
Well, that's why we do this. We do this to win. Now, all that being said, I think we want to get there the right way in the minor leagues. We want to get there through good development. I think one of the messages that we gave our staff this year, because there's that sort of debate, that age-old debate in the minor leagues, you know, what's more important, winning or development? And I think in some ways, I actually think it's a little bit of a false premise. Like I kind of reject that question. Yeah, sure, there are going to be times when a manager might hold back from making a move that he might make if it were a big league game, where because you want to give a prospect a chance, even if strategically that might not be the best thing for winning the game. But really, those things I think are more on the margins. I think the big thing that gets missed in this debate, and you know, I actually had the opportunity to have some good conversation with some of our people and emphasize this. We should always, when it's 7 o'clock, those lights go on, we should always care about winning. The thing that I think we need to really focus on in the minor leagues, and frankly in the major leagues too, but this was where we wanted to shift our focus in the minor leagues, is if you're a minor league manager, we shouldn't judge you primarily on your wins and losses at 7 o'clock, because you don't control who's on your roster. You don't necessarily control how those kids play. They're all developing. They're all going to make mistakes. But how are you winning between 1 and 6? How are you creating an environment every day that's going to allow all those players to advance towards the goals that they need to hit in order to be big leaguers? How are you creating an environment that's going to teach these kids how to play the game the way they need to play? How are you creating winning habits in these players? And if we win 1 to 6, 7 o'clock is going to take care of itself. And we're going to build the types of players who are ultimately going to be winning players that are going to be able to win up here. And so it's really not so much about winning versus development. It's about winning at development. It's about looking at all of that through the lens of, you know, we need to do this better than anybody else. If you're a minor league manager, you're not just competing with the opposition. You're competing against the 29 other people that have your job and waking up every day trying to kick their butts. And that's how I view my job. That's how, you know, I've encouraged our whole staff to think about their jobs that way. For most of us, there's 29 other people that get to do what we do. And we got to outcompete them every day. There's no scoreboard. You'll never know if you did it. But if we have that mindset day after day, we're going to go places.
In your time with John Mozeliak over the last couple of years leading up to today, and how you'll shape the roster and shape everything going into spring training in Jupiter, what do you see out of the group that took part in the 2025 season?
Our group at the big league level.
At the big league level.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of talent here. You know, I said it from the podium. We know we need more, but there is a lot of good talent on hand. I'm impressed by how this group goes about its business. I think some of that is a reflection on our staff and just the attitude that they take to this, the togetherness that they have and the care they have for our players. We definitely have a group that certainly in a lot of cases, these guys, I think their best days are ahead of them. We saw some really good things from some guys, and we saw some guys who kind of struggled to get out of neutral and really more just showed flashes. So I think the question for us as we go into the offseason, outside of any decisions that we need to make on them or make on the roster, is how do we take these guys that showed us flashes of potential of what they could be and try to help them build their offseasons in ways that allows that to be more the norm? So much of being a good big leaguer is consistency. You know, I've always thought that if you go into a Double A clubhouse or a Triple A clubhouse and you look around, pretty much everyone in those clubhouses on their best day is good enough to be in the big leagues. The difference is that the guys that get here and stay here perform at that level 8 or 9 days out of 10. And a lot of the guys that don't get there will only show that to you once or twice. So the question is, with these guys in the big leagues who have shown it to us, but not necessarily shown it to us every day, how can we get them training and routines that's going to enable them to hit their top end more consistently?
Mike Claiborne mentioned to me he was down by the dugout Friday, the last Friday of the season in Chicago, a game where the Cubs scored 12 runs. But he said Ollie, the other coaches, kept teaching. They kept coaching. They kept going through moments in the game, bringing up things to each player that they spoke with, and they did not give up. There was no mailing it in all the way through. And that's something I observed from up there in the booth. Everybody worked hard. Everybody got into the batter's box looking to give a good at-bat each time they were in there. How did you see it?
Yeah, I see it the same way. I mean, look, there's plenty of things at all levels of this organization that I've tried to observe where I think there's room for us to take steps forward, areas that I want to push people, areas where I think I can help. Work ethic and care, not an issue. We have that in spades. You know, everybody really does not give up. They push, you know, they work till the last out, till the last game. That part is really, really impressive. I think, you know, I'm actually really happy about that, that I don't think there's people in here that I need to light a fire under or any of that. I think it's more about how do I help harness that, build systems around it so that we can be more purposeful, more organized, create more accountability around how we're doing these things and how that effort is manifesting. But man, we got a group of people here who really care about what they're doing. They take pride in this. They see getting to wear that uniform every day as the privilege that it is, and they don't take that lightly.
With that said, where does that leave Oliver Marmol and the staff as you evaluate and look forward getting ready for Jupiter?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed getting to know them all. Looking forward to working with Ollie. You know, this role that I had previously has allowed me to get to know him, and we've built a good relationship. And I look forward to that continuing to grow in this seat. Obviously, in this seat, it's a little bit of a different kind of relationship. But, you know, really have enjoyed getting to work with him, getting to know him. As we got into conversations late in the season just about what the future might hold, where I thought the organization needed to go, it felt to me like we were really on the same page as to that. Obviously, his seat's different from my seat, and so there's always things that we need to work together on, that we need to navigate. You know, and even at times that we might disagree on, and that's okay, but I've really enjoyed working with him, and I'm looking forward to building that relationship.
That is Chaim Bloom, Cardinals president of baseball operations, talking about Ollie Marmol right there with John Rooney, the voice of the Cardinals. That was a part of a 26-minute interview that they did at Busch Stadium after his press conference. We have it available on the front page of KMOX.com if you want to listen to the entire thing. We will, and I would highly recommend it, we'll come back and get reaction from Bernie Miklas. He joins us next on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
And here is Bernie Miklas. I love this segment. Get to spend a good 10, 12 minutes with my pal. How are you, buddy?
I've listened to most of the show today. Outstanding work. Outstanding.
Oh, man. Thank you. It's been something I've been sitting on for a while. You know this. You know I love our fans. I mean, sure. If I could be anywhere in sports, it would be there are two places that warm my heart. You know I love my alma mater, and I've got myself a football team now, and I love our basketball tradition at Indiana. But man, do I love Cardinals baseball and Cardinals fans, and especially. And so that's why sometimes I have to take a step back and listen to what they have to say, even if it's the most negative, sometimes disheartening stuff, because it's how they feel. I can't change how they feel. It's how they feel. But I do sometimes have to offer some sort of insight because, as I've told them for many years, Bernie, I'm not too far from you folks, but I have some good access. And so I get to hear behind the scenes what's going on. And my information tells me that the Cardinals are on a path that they needed to put themselves on. And we'll just have to let it play out. It's just that simple. And it's hard sometimes to convey that and not get blowback. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I got mixed feelings on it. I mean, I do love Cardinals fans, and this is a great baseball town, and I'm steadfast in my belief of that. But you and I were chatting a little bit, and the one thing, listen, I'm with you because I listen to you take all those calls, and I agree with what you said. I mean, fans are entitled to their feelings. They're entitled to spend the money how they wish. It's their money. It's their time. And if they don't want to go to the ballpark, they don't have to go to the ballpark. They shouldn't. If they believe the Cardinals have to, in effect, reestablish or re-earn that trust, well, that's fine. That's fair. Again, no one should tell the fans how to feel. Now, this is you know, there's another aspect to this that does bug me, and I think this is why some Cardinals fans, frankly, dislike me. Because even though I want their opinions, I take their opinions to heart, I really want what people have to say, I don't have to agree with all of it, though. And, you know, respectfully, I just don't have to agree with all of it. And so if I say, well, I hear where you're coming from, but that's just not correct. And people seem to take that personally. And I don't know why. I mean, we're either going to discuss some stuff and go back and forth and exchange ideas or not. We don't have to agree, you know, and I, you know, but like you had one of the callers earlier, and he said, he said the DeWitts were, you know, they're no better than the Bidwills. What? The Bidwills owned the football team here for 28 years. They made the playoffs 3 times. They never won a postseason game. And when they were in the postseason games, they got blown out, all 3 of them. The Cardinals under Bill DeWitt, you know, what is it? They've been to the playoffs, what, 17 times in 30 years? Maybe that. But anyway, in terms of winning records, you know, since DeWitt became the owner, the Cardinals are 5th in regular season winning percentage, and they've won more postseason games than any team in the National League. Did the DeWitts and John Mozeliak screw this thing up by letting their model get outdated and maybe getting complacent and maybe, you know, sort of anticipating they had to freshen things up? And they knew that there was slippage in the player development system, and they took way too long to address that. So I'm not sitting here. My goodness, I probably got to, you know 100 columns over the last couple 3 years about how many things they screwed up. But you just hear all these things like somehow they're the Bidwills. What? I mean, come on. I was telling you, it's like the gentleman was entitled to his opinion. I don't have to agree with it, and I think that. We and I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes we all get really frustrated, and we let the anger get the best of us, and then we say stuff that just goes like so ridiculously far that it lacks all credibility. There have been a lot of things to criticize about the Cardinals, and I have done it. But what I won't do, I refuse to do, is to act like the entire 30-year body of work hasn't been exceptional overall. And I would ask this question: there's 30 franchises in the major leagues. How many fan bases would trade their last 30 years for what the last 30 years have been in St. Louis? Not many. I'm guessing not many. You have Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Giants won 3 World Series. I mean, it's certainly fewer than 10. I would say it'd be closer to 5 or 6.
I think,
you know,
it's
like, why? Okay. We all are upset and ticked off and very critical for valid reasons about how they let this thing slide. Right.
Mm-hmm. I think
I do not, however, like act like everything that happened before that never happened or it doesn't matter. To me, that is an unreasonable opinion.
When you're part of an historic franchise, but most importantly, when you're part of a passionate fan base, whether this is college sports, pro sports, there are a handful that have that extreme passion. When it's good, it's really, really, really good. I mean, it is just, there's nothing like it. But when it doesn't go well, it can be the opposite side, and it can really, really go sideways because the fans are very passionate. They're very smart. They've invested a lot. And so, you know, the teeth will come out and they will get angry, and it does happen. It happens in other sports and with other teams too. I just hope, and I think he's up for it,
that Chaim Bloom knows what he's getting into here. If he does get this thing back to where it used to be, he will go down in history. If he does one little thing that people don't like, they're going to say, "Bah, see, I told you." And it's going to, they'll go up against him too. I mean, this is not going to be an easy task by any stretch. But quite honestly, when I hear him talk, I feel like he's already hit the ground running. I don't think this isn't a guy who just stepped into it. I think he's actually been watching that also, understanding the market, the task at hand, and it sounds like the pieces are in place at the moment for what he wants to do.
The Cardinals are very fortunate to get Chaim Bloom at this stage of his career, because Chaim Bloom was a huge part of an amazing story in Tampa Bay, where, you know, since 2008, the Rays have played in as many World Series as the Cardinals and the Yankees, despite having like the 28th, 29th payroll every year. And so Chaim Bloom understands the absolute necessity for draft and development. But when I say that he's coming to the Cardinals are fortunate to get him at this time, because he has that really, really strong, beyond reproach, track record as someone who knows how to draft and develop players. This Red Sox team this year, Chaim Bloom guys all over the field, right? Even though he got fired towards the end of 2023, Chaim Bloom guys all over the field. In fact, two other prospects that he drafted were traded to the White Sox for Garrett Crochet. All over the field. This is 2025. Chaim Bloom's impact is still there in a positive way. But he was in a situation where it's pretty thankless. He had inherit the entire front office. A lot of those guys resented him. He wasn't one of them. He didn't work for Dave Dombrowski. He didn't work for Ben Charrington before that. The owner kept changing his mind. The owner told him, "I want you to draft and develop and build a farm system, and we got to get under the luxury tax threshold." He did all those things with flying colors, but the owner, couldn't stand the fact they're getting criticized for this or that, this or that. And, you know, he got mad. He threw a tantrum. He ordered Chaim Bloom to trade Mookie Betts. He ordered him to do a lot of other things. The things he hired him to do, he did. But he could not, Chaim Bloom could not overcome the politics or an owner who's changing his mind every 15 minutes. So the reason I say the Cardinals are fortunate is because Chaim Bloom learned a lot from that really miserable experience in Boston. And the interesting thing about Chaim Bloom is usually the owner of a team will interview a job candidate. And of course, Bill DeWitt III interviewed him. But to me, he came here in effect 2 years in advance before he would get the job, because he wanted to see every aspect of the organization, how the people are, how dedicated they are, who's smart, how they're running things, what's messed up, what's good. You used the word audit, total audit. And Chaim Bloom was interviewing the Cardinals. It wasn't the other way around. You know what I'm saying? Because they need him desperately. And he and Bill DeWitt are 100% in alignment about what needs to be done at this time. And I know I'm going on long, but let me just say this. When I talked to Bill DeWitt about a lot of times through the years, he says, you know, we got to draft and develop. The game's going in a different way. We have got to make sure we're strong there. And people say, oh, it won't be cheap. No, They've always had stars, and what his philosophy, which has worked when he puts it into play, strong draft and develop, especially starting pitching. And then when you get to the point where you have enough of that, but you're saving money because you have all these young players cost controlled, then you can go out and then you can make sure you have your stars and spend money. And when I talked to Bill DeWitt last fall, I said, well, yeah, I know you love the Chaim Bloom background because of the draft and development. And he cut up politely. He says, yeah, there's one difference though. The Cardinals are all about having stars. And I always will want to have. So when we get this thing up and running again, when it's because we're going to have payroll efficiency with all the young players coming up, then we're going to go do what we have to do. And people say, oh yeah. Well, he's already done it many times over. I mean, take a look at all the people they acquired from outside the organization. Cooperstown Hall of Famers, Cardinals Hall of Famers, Arenado, Goldschmidt. I mean, just Chris Carpenter. I mean, on and on and on. They have always been about stars, and they will be about stars, because the Tampa Bay model is not enough for DeWitt. He believes, no, the Cardinals need star players. We've always been about that. So it's a really good pairing. It's a really good fit. Heim Bloom's not going to get everything done in, you know, 1 year, 2 years, but he's off to a really great start with the minor leagues. They made great progress already. I would just ask, you know, why don't you give him a chance? You know, I mean, did you want to continue doing this crap that we've watched the last 3-4 years? I didn't want to watch that. So
no, I'm ready for the new era. I really am, and it is underway. And Bernie Miklas, as always, you did perfect. That was perfect way to wrap the show. Talking to you, man. And let's catch up real soon. Thank you, as always, for the visit on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
For our producer, Drew Young, I'm Tom Ackerman. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you soon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.